It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 570. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. Facebook, two sites, facebook.com/MikeTechShow and facebook.com/MikeNationNet. You can check out the wiki. That's at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all the past shows, the show notes, the audio. It's a great resource. I want to thank Instant House Call for being a sponsor of the Mike Tech Show. I use this every day. Matter of fact, I had a remote into a client this morning before I'm recording the show right now and take care of an email issue where the client accidentally deleted some files from an archived PST, and I had them all backed up because they were originally archived from an Exchange server. So he was in the office. I was able to remote, and I have those PSTs backed up on their new server, which doesn't have Exchange, because now it's all hosted at Sherweb. And I was able to remote in, easily attach, copy those PSTs to his local machine, attach them to Outlook, and did that and took care of it remotely. That's why you need reliable remote control software to service your clients. You got to have good software that you can depend on. And that's why I recommend and use Instant House Call. You can try it free for 15 days by going to instanthousecall.com. Make sure you use the promo code MikeTechShow, or just click on the link on the left-hand side of my website at miketechshow.com. I also want to thank Matt for building my new MHS consulting website, and that's at mhsconsulting.net. Go to techsitebuilder.com. That is the product that was used to build my new website. And you, for very inexpensive, have your tech website custom built and hosted for you at a great, great price. TechSiteBuilder.com, or you can also email Matt at mail@TechSiteBuilder.com if you got any questions. If you are in the business and you need your website updated, that's what you want to do. A couple other things. We have the dates, which I talked about in the last show, for the Unconvention in Toronto. It's July 22nd to the 24th, and I want everybody who's listening, whether you can attend or not, we need some feedback, and we have a survey that's hosted over on TechNibble's website. This survey will help us construct the sessions that you want to hear. Give us as much detail as possible, answer all the questions, submit whatever you can, and what you would like to learn, what you would like to hear about. Maybe you can't attend this session, this particular on conference, but maybe the following years you might be able to. And there might be topics there that we may not cover this time, but we can cover the next time. Also, for everybody that's podcasting, the topics that we don't cover at the Unconvention, we can bring them to our podcasts and help talk about them maybe. So there's so many opportunities there for you to fill out that survey. It's really going to help us to construct the sessions. So take the time, fill it out. Really appreciate that. One more administrative item. The week of February 14th, I am having some corrective eye surgery where a very large cataract has to be removed from my right eye. I've been having a lot of trouble seeing. So that week, there's probably not going to be a show. I'll have a show next week, which is the 11th, but there's a good chance that the 18th, I'm not going to have a show. Or if I do, I'll reschedule it for Saturday. It's looking like every other show has been a Thursday and a Saturday, just the way it's working out. As a matter of fact, last Thursday night, I had a doctor's appointment. That's why I couldn't do the show. So that's why I wanted to reschedule it for Saturday afternoon. So I want to thank everybody for the patience and the rescheduling, and stay with me and hang in there and stay subscribed and listening to the show, doing my best to keep the content coming each week. Just bear with me over a couple of these hurdles. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter, and you will know when I'm going to be live and when the content is posted up. Lots of email to get to today. This first one is sort of a follow-up to the IT consulting, the Jetpack, where I was a guest on. This is from Jason. Recently watched an IT Jetpack podcast and saw your story. I find myself in a very similar situation you had, trying to get my IT consulting business off the ground. I had a quick question. What did you typically charge monthly for a small business of, say, 10 to 15 users? I'm trying to put together a reasonable price list to provide for customers. I can't give you the exact dollar amount because that depends on where you're located and your competition, but I'm going to help you on how you can strategize for your pricing. I have yet to put in an automated way of patching the PCs, updating all the software. I haven't implemented Nine Night Pro yet. I am not doing a good job of remotely managing all of my computers. Right now, it's all manual. So my pricing structure is per hour. It's not per machine. And a lot of techs now that are in that managed service space, they have a good solid pricing per machine. So 10 machines, maybe it's $20 per machine per month or whatever. I don't have that pricing structure yet. And if you're just getting this off the ground, you probably don't have that either. So I'm heading in that direction, but I'm not there today. I look for how many hours am I going to spend or that they need support per month to manage the account with no emergencies, no big issues. And I try to make the contract to smooth it out over time. So let's say someone's contracting for me 10 hours a month. Well, we may not use 10 hours a month. So I'll let it roll over from one quarter to another. I always bill quarterly. And I bill for the quarter that's going to happen, not the quarter that happened. So if I have a client that's 10 hours a month, every quarter, the first day of that quarter, they get an invoice for 30 hours. You want to look for whatever your hourly rate is, it should be higher per hour than what I call my retainer rate, the rate that you would give someone who's buying bulk, buying a lot of hours, and buying a lot of time. I'm going to give an example. Let's say I'm $200 an hour. I would offer $150 an hour if they buy in bulk and they sign up for a retainer. Maybe you're $65 an hour. You'll offer $50 an hour for your retainer rate. Have those two rates ready, but you're kind of throwing a dart at the dartboard trying to guess. I'm going to give you some of the things that helps me for how many hours. I asked them for their old support, whoever they used, how many hours did they call them per month? And they may have an answer to that. My first client, we spend like 7-8 hours a month with them. And I was like, great. Well, you have a server. So right off the bat, for me to manage a server and monitor your backups, I add a 30 minutes per server per month. And I total that all up. And then I add that into taking a look at how many workstations and then how many hours do I think it's going to take to support that, or how many hours am I going to get questions? And you can always adjust it. Write your contract in a way that you can go up or down. I've done this. I've had clients that started out at 15 hours a month and we're now down to 5 hours a month. I've had clients that started at 5 hours a month and we're down to 2. I've had another client that we started at 2, but we're up to 5. Be flexible and tell them you're flexible, that you can adjust that if it starts to be over too many hours. One of the things I like about being hourly is I will never get stuck. I cannot offer all you can eat tech support. I can't do that because I'm not armed to take care of that. So what if I get crushed with... If I offered all you can eat, unlimited tech support, I would have to charge triple, maybe quadruple what I'm currently charging. I am not in a position to offer that. So my clients kind of make a decision. If it's a stupid little question that they could research themselves, they probably will, because they know, you know what, I'm not going to burn an hour of Mike in our contract for that. I tend to only get a little more serious problems, but I have other clients that need that handholding. And they know it, and they're paying for it. But I'm never going to get stuck. If a client needs 30 hours of my work that month, well, and I'm only billing them 5, well, they're going to get an invoice for the other 25 hours. My typical retainer is from 2 to 5 hours a month on my typical small business. I have larger clients. I have smaller. I try not to write a contract under 2 hours. That's my goal. I like the question, and I hope I answered it properly for you to give you some things to think about. Put yourself in a position that you're going to make money and stay in business. Don't offer the world if you can't support the world. So be careful on what you're offering and that you are armed to be able to support that. That's why, as I brought on too many clients for retainer, I had to hire my son full-time. I had to have a service that answers my main number where there's 2 techs that can remote in and take care of business. For clients that, you know, you've heard me talk about it. I've had clients that I've had days where I've had 3 emergencies at the very same time, and I am now staffed to be able to take care of that. MB Systems Inc., the man in the van in the chat, has a great comment here. Don't try to do a standard retainer. It needs to be custom for each client. And that's exactly what I do. Each one of my retainer clients, I give a lot of thought into the scope of work. Now, I give a nice out that says, and any other additional problems that come up. But because I am hourly, they can elect to use me as much as they want. And I am going to be able to bill. At the end of the quarter, we kind of look at how many hours I've used. I send them a timesheet, and if they're over only a couple hours, I'll let that slide into the next quarter because maybe they'll use me less, and it evens out. One of the nice things that my clients like to hear is it flattens their IT support by coming up with a pretty good monthly number. So here we go. Client that only has 2 hours a month, but they didn't use me for a couple months. So they've kind of banked 4 hours. Now we're into a new month with new 6 hours. Add the 4, they now have 10, and they had a serious problem that wiped out 8 of the hours. But they didn't get an extra invoice because I rolled over what they didn't use. It's all hourly, but it keeps a constant revenue stream for me to keep me in business. That's the goal. And you have to look at that. What are your expenses? How many clients do you have? How many clients can you possibly have? I had to map out my own bandwidth. How many hours could I possibly take care of a client, clients over a month? And when you reach that number, then it's time to hire and bring on more people so you can expand your business, or you can't bring on any more clients. So that's what happened to me last year. In the second half of the year, I was faced with either expand or die, or stay the same and can't grow because I couldn't take on any more clients. Now I can take on more clients and still service them. Spent a lot of time answering that question for you. I hope that helps. This is another good question from a listener who's involved in compliance. And he says, I have a potential new customer that needs to run the PCI traps to make sure they are compliant. I understand that they need to go through the self-assessment, which is important, but do you use a third party to do penetration checks for open ports? And he's looking for any advice, and this is Josh. Josh, great question, and I sent to him, and I'll have it in the show notes, the link to TrustWave. TrustWave is the partner that I use for doing remote penetration tests for PCI compliance. You, as the main tech support, are not allowed to do a remote penetration test. It has to be a third party. It cannot be you. Very important to use a service that will honestly give you, you know, do the scans, the penetration test, and then send you the report so that you can remediate what they found, and then they'll scan again until you've remediated all the gaps and all the problems. Usually it's a port open that you don't realize is open. You're going to be tweaking the firewall, basically. Very important to show you are PCI compliant. There's also other compliance that requires this a couple times a year, depending on the size of the business, for HIPAA compliance. Good question, and I'll have that link in the show notes for TrustWave. This email is from Roy, and he's recommending Komodo RMM for remote monitoring and management. I'll have the link in the show notes. Take a look, and I'm curious. I would like some feedback. One of the things that I'm very interested in is remote management and monitoring. It's something that I need to start adding as a service to my clients. And this is where it would get into how many PCs, how many servers are we monitoring? And I would come up with a good price per machine. Not all my clients would want it, but there are some that do. And I may be able to just tack that onto the retainer and say, let's say they're 2 hours a month and they only got four machines. But let's say the cost to me to manage that is only a couple dollars a machine. I might be able to sell that service for $5 or $10 per month per machine and then tack it on to the retainer hours that I already have. That would be great value to my clients and help me automate the remote monitoring and management of desktops. I'm starting to make that transition to needing that to, and now to offer more breadth of services for a product line for my business. And that weighs into that. This is from Roy. Thank you. This is from Matt. I was recently listening to show 558 and I'm halfway through it. I'm trying to take notes, but I'm finding it difficult for the start and stop and then type. This is the show on all of the tools. And as a matter of fact, Jets PC in the chat did a wonderful job of putting the links together in an email for me for the show notes. I think I have a great idea. For the week that I'm not going to be doing a show, I will post up those incredible show notes and repost that show up on your favorite utilities and tools for your tool bag. I think that's a great way to get those links into everybody's hands because it was such a monumental task. I didn't have the time to go through all of those notes. Matt, good question. And I promise that within a couple weeks, I will have those show notes posted up. Thank you. This is from Alex. And it's a thank you for Ustream. Here you go. I've been watching the video version of the Mike Tech Show for about a year. I've been a fan of Carrie Holzman and then Tech Vets for several years. A few months ago, Ustream suddenly locked into a small window made and played on my well-secured Firefox Ubuntu system without full screen or a progress bar. I know a lot of Ustream people, a lot of Ubuntu users complaining about Ustream, and I've gotten a lot of email about that. My system plays YouTube and Netflix movies without a problem. So I figured they were fed up with ad-blocked, non-trackable viewers. So I just let it go and watched in a tiny window. Suddenly, on January 29th, I cranked up Ustream, Mike Tech Show 568 and 569, and got a new set of what may be HTML5 player controls and full screen capability returned. Thanks, Ustream. Good work. So that's nice to hear. And I wish everybody out there would start embracing HTML5. That would make life for us so much easier and have to stop worrying about the Java and Flash and everything. We want HTML5 to really go forward. And if that happened from Ustream, I don't know, because I don't look at it that way, and certainly not from Ubuntu. That's a good follow-up, Alex. Thank you. This is from Robert. Have backup software that you want to check out. And this is Macrium. I think once a long time ago, I downloaded Macrium Reflect, the free version, and I did use it and it worked fine. This is good software, and you definitely want to check this out if you don't want to spend a lot of money. You need something free, does the job. I've gotten tremendous feedback on Macrium. Give that a try, and I want to thank Robert for sending in that link. Thank you. Now, this is interesting, and I need your feedback because I don't have an answer for this. Episode number is missing since November 18th, 2015. This is from listener Jim. Hi, Mike. I started 11/18/2015. The episode number no longer shows up in my subscription listing and downloads listing for the Mike Tech Show using Winamp. When I play a show, the episode number does not show up, and he sent me some screenshots. Now, I put the episode number in there. So interesting that for some reason, the ID3 tag that I have is not completely displaying in Winamp. Does anybody else have that issue? When you see the description of the show, it should say MTS, then the year, dash the month, dash the day, and then a pound sign, and three digits for the show number. That I put in the ID3 tag of my audio file. So if that's being truncated, that means Winamp is not displaying the full tag. So I ask, what are you using to listen to the Mike Tech Show? And if there's anything that you can, if it's not showing the show number, let me know. Jim, are you using the latest version of Winamp? Or if you are, can you go back to an older version to see if that, I don't know. I know Winamp used to have lots and lots of upgrades all the time, sort of like FileZilla. Just seems to always be upgrading. Let me know if it's because of an upgrade or some kind of feature, or if anybody else. If anybody is having an issue with listening to the show or any problem with the website or audio, or especially if I miss a link or something, oh, please email me. And a lot of you who do, where I've missed a link to something or the link is wrong, or, you know, you've emailed me and, man, the first chance I get, I take care of it. And then I reply back and say, check it out, test. I really appreciate that. You're my ears and eyes out there in watching and listening to the show, and I can't cover everything all the time, and it's a big help if you give me that kind of feedback like this. Windows 10 lucky hit. This is from Alex. Since your first 2016 show had some Win 10 news, I thought I would brag about my lucky Windows 8 bargain. As discussed before, Windows 10 is not really free. No way was I going to sacrifice a solid Windows 7 system with reliable drivers and a dozen hours of configuration and application tweaks. The news regarding Windows 10 telemetry has put me off spending over $120 to $150 for an OEM Windows 10 Pro DVD. Yes, I'm gloating. I found a clearance Win 8.1 OEM DVD on Amazon for less than half the manufacturer's suggested retail price of Windows 10 Pro. The key authenticated and installed smoothly. Of course, I was suspicious that this was too good to be true, and I will certainly hold my breath when the Windows 10 upgrade reads the product key. I've heard rumors about fake OEM keys going around, but this looks good so far. I will wipe the Windows 8.1 drive, use the Microsoft Media Creation Tool version of Windows 10 ISO, a thumb drive. They re-authenticate with the 8.1 OEM key. Why would an Amazon vendor liquidate his stock of 8.1 DVDs at cost or even slightly less? He's not losing money. He's making money. So don't think that the vendor's dropping these at losing money. Maybe company went out of business and they had a whole lot of licenses and they were bought up. I used to do that. I would go to computer shows and buy something. Maybe there was some kind of a liquidation. I do that a lot. I've gotten Microsoft Office keys from Amazon that are significantly reduced, and it's been tremendous. So I wouldn't worry about the fact that it was a discount and that it's not going to be legitimate. If you bought it from Amazon, they'll stick by it if there was a problem. I have a great Amazon story. This was the hearing aid doctor. They bought an HP printer a couple years ago and bought the support that comes up when you make a purchase, but the support was not from Amazon. It was not from HP. It was a third party. They paid like $49 to cover any repair. Well, the tray broke, and it was just a natural problem that, you know, a problem happened with the tray, and they couldn't feed any more paper in, and they called the support company that they purchased the support. You ready for this? Rather than fix it, guess what the support company did? They must have looked at that it would cost more than what the customer paid for the support contract. They actually said, we'll refund your money. We can't fix it. We're not going to fix it. That's horrible. So they called me and I said, where did you buy it? They bought it from Amazon. I said, call Amazon support. Explain the situation. Amazon, at their expense, shipped them a brand new printer. I'm not kidding. A brand new printer that they bought a couple years ago. That's tremendous, tremendous customer service. That's a great segue. When you buy from Amazon, please use my link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to help support the Mike Tech Show. It's why I buy almost everything from Amazon. There's no questions asked. When you need something replaced or you need it returned, I've gotten refunds on returning a product that I know they didn't receive. The label got scanned in at the UPS store. They seen that the label was scanned in and immediately sent me my refund. You can't ask for better customer service than that. They set the bar on customer service from an online retailer. It doesn't get better than that. Remember the link, amazon.micnation.net. Also, Tech Nibbles, great computer repair kit version 3. It's awesome. Link will be in the show notes. Fab's Auto Backup for Tech 6 Pro. Use that all the time. You know, these are the tools. These are the standard things that I use all the time for my business. Don't forget to support Instant House Call and also TechSiteBuilder.com for your tech website. That's it. I'll be back Thursday, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit TechPodcast.com.